Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu. Welcome to our series, The Message of Quran. This series is brought to you by Helping Hand. Helping Hand has been a partner of Qalam for many years. They serve people in need around the globe since 2005 with a focus on international relief and development. Since its inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and have lifted thousands of out of poverty with a long-term assistance program. This Ramadan, Helping Hand is focusing on continuing its fight to eradicate hunger across the world. With the hashtag #ShareYourPlate campaign, to learn more, visit hhrd.org/qalam. Today, inshallah, in our session, we will be taking a look at the third juz of the Quran. This juz has 126 verses and is split between two surahs. Surah Baqarah, which started in the first juz and went throughout the second, also continues on into the third juz. Almost half of the third juz, the first, is dedicated to Surah Baqarah, which is a Madani surah, a surah revealed after migration. In the second half of this third juz, we have Surah Al-Imran, which is a surah also revealed after migration. So today we're going to take a look at this third juz and highlight some of the points of reflection, something to look out for while you're reading today. So in the opening verses of the third juz of the Quran, in verse number 255 of Surah Baqarah, we find a very beautiful verse. This verse is referred to as Ayatul Kursi. This verse is a verse of protection. Whenever a person feels fear, whenever they feel intimidated, when they feel under attack, if a person is struggling with nightmares, if a person is struggling with anxiety, find confidence and strength in Ayatul Kursi. It's an ayah that I'll read with you shortly, but I encourage each person to take out some time and memorize it. It's not only we should memorize, but our children should memorize it too. My own children, when they were young, when I would put them to sleep, in addition to the du'as of sleep, I would have them read Ayatul Kursi. There are narrations from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding virtue of reading Ayatul Kursi after every prayer. The ayah reads, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Again, this is ayah number 255 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. La ta'khuduhu sinatun wa la nawm. Lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. Each and every one of us should make a commitment to memorizing this verse. I won't be translating it, and neither will I be providing commentary on it, maybe another time. But for now, I wanted to highlight the virtue of this verse, share the ayah number with you, and encourage you to memorize it, and then bring it into practice by always reading it, and particularly finding refuge in this beautiful verse of the Quran. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two verses down in ayah number 257, says, Allah is the friend of those who believe. He takes them out of darkness and brings them to light. Allah announces that He is the friend of those who believe. Allah, those who believe, Allah is their friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their wali. As a result of this, يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ النُّورِ, He takes them out of darkness and brings them into light. The ulama, they say that when it comes to the friendship of Allah, what we call wilaya, there are two types of it. There is wilaya khassa, and then there's wilaya amma. Wilaya amma is a more general source of friendship, a more general sense of friendship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers this to every believer. And then on the other side, you have wilaya khassa, which is specific with those who go above and beyond among the believers and dedicate their life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who wake up for tahajjud, those who remember Allah when they're alone, those who spend time engaging in the remembrance of Allah when they are surrounded by people. Friends of Allah are those who do not skip salah and do not violate any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very intimate form of friendship. But beyond that, the more general form of this wilaya is for any person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse number 261, 262, and 263, Allah azza wa jal guides us through the virtues of giving sadaqah in the path of Allah. Number two, the etiquette of giving sadaqah in the path of Allah. The first thing that we're told, that giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fruitful. The example of this is like someone who gives and they will receive a return that is multiplied by 700 times. This Ramadan, choose opportunities, find causes that are meaningful to you, that you connect with, and give there. Support people across the world. Support people in your community. Support your friends. Support your families. Support your masajid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يُضَعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah increases and gives to whoever He wishes. If you're looking for a way to earn a reward this Ramadan, give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Giving isn't easy, because in order to give, you have to win the battle against your own greed. On one side, you will say that I want the money because I need it. On the other side, you're saying, no, I must give it because there is benefit from me. I am getting rid of my miserliness, my bukhl, my greed. And I'm over this. So stand strong, don't listen to those whispers, and give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, a person gives, there are some etiquettes and guidelines for giving. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. O those who believe, do not destroy your sadaqah بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. Man is to remind people of the good that you did for them. But I did this for you. But I did that for you. Someone, you know, does something for you and you say, but I did this for you too. It's always, you know, in comparison to. The genuineness is missing. A Muslim is genuine. You do things for the sake of Allah. You don't need to remind other people. Reminding them to help them reflect and help them create perspective is okay. But to rub it in someone's face is not good. And particularly when it comes to the matter of sadaqah, you shouldn't be reminding anyone, because in Islam, we view sadaqah as a form of ibadah. And ibadah is done for the sake of Allah, and you don't rub something in people's face that you did for the sake of Allah. You don't brag about it in front of people when you do something for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. O those who believe, do not waste your charity through al-man, which is to remind people of favors, wal-adha, and by causing them harm. By, you know, if you just keep bringing it up again and again and again, it's going to bring hurt to them. Rather, give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be generous, separate from your wealth, and move on. As we continue, we see in Surah Baqara again, ayah number 284, 285, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the closing verses of Surah Baqara teaches us something very beautiful. And the full context of this incident is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The verse translates, to Allah belongs everything that is in the heavens and everything in the earth. I'm translating verse 254 of Surah Baqarah. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. And if you express what is hidden in your hearts, or if you keep it secret, يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ, Allah will hold you accountable. فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, He will forgive who He wills. وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, and He will punish who He wills. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, Allah is capable over all. So when this verse was revealed, the Sahaba were terrified. Because in this ayah, they were told that the things that were in their heart that they did not express to anyone, that they kept concealed, they will be held accountable with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those actions. So then the companions became reluctant and they said, O Messenger of Allah, that's too harsh. We will be held accountable for our thoughts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reveals the next ayah, 285, reprimanding the companions because they questioned revelation. Yes, the ayah was harsh. Yes, the command of Allah was tough. But who are we to really question a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The messengers have believed in that which was revealed from their Lord. And the believers have also believed. كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ, all of them have believed in Allah, وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ, in His books, His messengers, His malaika, His angels, وَكُتُبِهِ, His books, وَرُسُلِهِ, His messengers. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِهِ, we do not differentiate any of His prophets. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, and they say, we hear and we obey. That's the slogan of believers, that we say that we hear and we obey. غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا, O Allah, forgive us, إِلَيْكَ الْمُصِيرُ, to you is our return. The Sahaba here are being corrected on a matter of adab, on a matter of etiquette, which is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to do something, you do it. You don't ask, you don't question, you don't fight, you don't argue, you don't protest. You do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, they said, we hear and we obey. غُفَرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا, O our Lord, forgiveness, your forgiveness for us. وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ, to you is our return. Now the next ayah, the first part of it is quite profound, it's beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. No person will be made to bear beyond what their natural ability is. Each and every one of us has an ability. An ability that we may not even know of. Something, a strength in us that we may not be even aware we have. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed it in us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that ability within us. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us, sometimes He is testing us in a way that we may think is unbearable, but He knows in His infinite knowledge and wisdom that we were always aware, we were always capable, we just aren't aware that we're capable of that. Our Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. Our Allah would never do dhulm on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, yet He is merciful. Mercy never leaves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it encompasses all. So no matter what you're facing in your life, no matter what your challenge is, no matter what your struggle is, the mindset that you need to be in, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never push me beyond my limits. If it's getting rough, I have the ability to deal with this roughness. Because that's the way my Lord, my Allah created me. We continue. And we jump into Surah Al-Imran. Surah Al-Imran has some very beautiful verses. And some of this is just phenomenal. It's so much to discuss. One of my favorite verses of Surah Al-Imran is ayah number 26. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, Allahumma malik al-mulk, O Allah, King of kings. Tu'ti al-mulka man tasha, you give dominion and kingdom to who you will. Wa tanzi'u al-mulka mimman tasha, and you take away dominion and kingdom from who you will. Wa tu'izzu man tasha, you honor who you will. Wa tudhillu man tasha, you dishonor who you will. يدك الخير, good is in your hands. إنك على كل شيء قدير, indeed you are capable of all. This ayah reminds us, in a world that we live in where everyone's trying to constantly get more popular, we live in a rat race of no longer just materialism, but of fame. Everyone wants to open a YouTube channel, everyone wants to put a camera up and give a dars and give a talk or do some halaqa to get followers. And I know this sucks because there's a lot of judging going on here, but it's an unfortunate reality where we live in a time that everyone's fighting to climb the ladder of fame. How can I become that person who has a large following online? If you wish for your message to be heard and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take fa'idah from you and for your words to reach the corner of the world, then do so, but be humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't go for attention seeking. Don't go to win the appeal of people. Do it for the sake of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He is the one who gives honor. Honor comes by loyalty to Allah. Honor comes by obedience to Allah. If you want to create balance in yourself, then for every public lecture you give, or every public commitment you have, or every post you do on social media, dedicate some time to some private dua and ibadah. Before you post anything, raise your hands and make dua. Ya Allah, put barakah in this. When you try to elevate yourself and give aim to yourself, you will be disgraced. Whoever tries to become boasty and arrogant, Allah will drop them. وَمَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَّعَ اللَّهِ, and whoever humbles himself before Allah, Allah will elevate them. That's the qaida, the usul, the principle of life. Just humble yourself. مِتَالِ أَبْنِ هَسْتِي كُوْ أَغَرْتَ بَعْتَاهِ كِدَانَ خَاكْ سِمِلْكَرْ قُلُوْ قُلْزَارَ هُوْتَاهِ. You must learn to erase yourself from existence if you want. And loftiness. Kedana khak se milkar gulo gulzar hota hai, because the seed must mix with the soil for it to be a bouquet. You must bury it first. You must remove it. You must hide it. Moving on in Surah Al-Imran, 10 verses later, in verse 36, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the story of a great prophet of Allah, Zakariya alayhi salam. Zakariya alayhi salam was a prophet sent to the people of Banu Israel. He also happened to be the uncle of Maryam alayhi salam. Zakariya alayhi salam served his people. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had willed to test him. لهذا, as a result of this, he did not have any children. He had gone old. His bones were weak and frail. His hair was white. At an age that people no longer have children, they're barely able to stand straight. And he said, Allah tells us in the Quran, Kaf ha ya ayn sad, dhikru rahmati rabbika abadahu zakariya, idhna da rabbahu nida'an khafiya. He secretly called out to Allah. The reason why he secretly called out to Allah is because he was too shameful to even audibly ask Allah for a child. He was too old. Idhna da rabbahu nida'an khafiya. People would laugh at him if they found out he was still asking for a child from Allah, but he was asking, secretly, privately, calling out to his Lord. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَكُمْ بِعَلِكَ رَبْ شَقِيًّا. Oh my Lord, bones have gone weak, hair has gone white, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep making dua to Allah. While he was making dua to Allah at this old age of his, asking Allah for a child, one day, he comes to visit his niece, Maryam. She is in her seclusion, in her i'tikaf. And he notices he was the one that would bring fruit or food to and from her. But when he would go to visit her, he would find in front of her, وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. He would find that there was food there. And in some riwayat, we learn that it was fruit out of season. So he would say to his niece that, where did this fruit come to you from out of season? Someone's past what culturally may be assumed to be the age of marriage. People say, you're never going to get married. You're too old. Or you can't get married. You don't have X, Y, and Z education. People will say all sorts of things and you begin to feel lonely. Zakariya alayhi salam wanted someone to continue his legacy. يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ. Allah, give me an inheritor who will continue my legacy and the legacy of Yaqub alayhi salam. So he sees Maryam with these fruits out of season and he says to her, as we see in verse number 37, Anna laki hadha. Qala ya Maryam, Anna laki hadha. O Maryam, where did this come from? Her response is, Qalat huwa min indillah. This is from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this. إِنَّ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah gives whoever he wills without any accounting, without any accountability at all. He just gives and gives and gives and gives. So when you feel next in your life that you need something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet you aren't deserving of it, or you're past that limit, or this could never come to you, remember the story of Zakariya alayhi salam and how he was inspired by this young girl, Maryam, who is witnessing miracles in her life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving her fruits out of season. And Zakariya thinks to himself, huh, if she can get fruits out of season, I am also out of season in my age. People at my age generally don't have children. But if she has hope in Allah, I should have hope too. هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّ رَبَّهُ. Zakariya alayhi salam raised his hands and he makes dua to Allah. رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبًا. O Allah, bless me with the righteous progeny. إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاء. You are one who hears prayers. For anyone that is struggling to have children, or anyone that has children and they wish to have pious children, this dua right here is recommended. Ayah number 38 of Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3. The ayah, the dua reads, رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاء. O Allah, bless me with a righteous progeny. إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاء. You are one that accepts prayers. It was this dua of Zakariya alayhi salam that God accepted. He was standing in front of Allah praying, making dua to Allah. فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّ فِي الْمِحْرَابِ. The next verse 39 tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Zakariya alayhi salam, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَا. Allah gives you glad tidings of Yahya. That's your son. Your dua has been accepted. Ayah number 40. How can I have a child when I'm old and my wife is, you know, she's barren, she's not able to have a child? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah does as He wills. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands something to occur, it will occur, even if that means that the asbab, the apparent mean, will follow. But the command of Allah will always come true. So this is a summary of the third juz of the Quran. Another very beautiful ayat regarding Maryam alayhi salam giving birth to her child, and then Isa alayhi salam's miracles are also listed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he presents a strong case on behalf of Isa alayhi salam being a prophet of Allah and not being divine, because a great portion of Surah Al-Imran was revealed in response to Wafd Abdul Qais. Wafd Najran. There was a group of priests that had come from northern Yemen to debate with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina Munawwara. And as a part of the debate, the back and forward, a great portion of Surah Al-Imran was revealed, and made a lot of reference to Zakaria, Maryam, Isa alayhi salam. يختص برحمته من يشاء. Ayah number 74. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allots his special mercy to whoever he wills. Wallahu dhul fadl al-azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who possesses great honor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with that fadl. Bless us with that honor as well. There is another ayah number 85. Very beautiful. Allah azza wa jalla says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَإِنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever searches for faith other than Islam, whoever takes other than Islam as a faith, that's better. Whoever takes other than Islam as a faith. Some people, they try to translate Islam as submission here, and therefore opening the doors to the fact that any faith that involves submission is enough. You don't need Islam with a capital I. You don't need Islam as a faith. So they argue that this ayah indicates to the fact that Jews and Christians are also naji, that they will not be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their beliefs. Because the ayah says whoever chooses other than Islam as their faith, and instead of translating Islam as a proper noun, they translate it as whoever chooses other than submission for their faith, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ nothing, it'll never be accepted from him. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ الْخَاسِرِينَ, and he will be in the hereafter from those who lose out. That's why whenever I receive a translation of the Qur'an, one of the easiest things to figure out whether this translation is correct in its aqidah and whether it's balanced or not is checking the tarjumah of this ayah, taking the translation of ayah number 55 of Surah Al-Imran. Many perennialists, most perennialists, when they translate this ayah, they botch that up. They distort the ayah. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغْ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So with that, my friends, we close here. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from us, grants us tawfiq to do amal upon what we learn, blesses us all with the Mubarak Ramadan. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.